Blog Talk Radio.
I guess that's it. Is that it? No, wait a minute, Dan. You got a couple more bars? Come on. Bring it on. Bring it on, Dan. There you go. All right. Thank you. Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6.02 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.02 p.m. on the West Coast. This is the 20th of the month of August, 2022. I'm your host, Michael Gay, and you already know where I'm at in the ATL. And today we do have an interesting show and a very, very interesting guest. I got to tell you all, I'm really happy. You know, I've been blessed to have some great guests on the show, and I'm continued to be blessed to have some great guests. And this individual, I had to think about it. I said, how did I run across him again? I couldn't remember. Did I see him on TV? Did I see him on the internet? But neither here nor there. Just seeing or checking out his story really caught my attention. I was like, oh, we have to have him on. And you know, the goodness of communication and the Lord, of course, I reached out and, you know, sometimes when you reach out to certain folks, you know, you reach out and you hope that they respond. Some do, some don't. But I got a good response right away, you know, and explained what we do. And they were like, okay, cool. When? You know, they weren't available the Saturday that I wanted them on. They said, well, we could do it on this Saturday, meaning today. I'm like, oh, cool. See, I like when things go smoothly like that. And that's what has happened. So our guest today is going to be cartoonist Mr. Rob Armstrong will be joining us. And, you know, normally I have the guest come on towards the end of the show in the second hour, but we're doing something a little bit different. And I guess some of you guys probably have noticed that we're starting to have some of our guests come on in the first hour instead of the second. So our guest will be joining us in this first hour of the show. But without further ado, let me go ahead and open up the microphone to an individual who's been my right hand here from day one. From, well, I'm not even going to go that far back, Janet. I'm just going to leave that for another day. But you guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis. How are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm doing just great.
Hawkins Davis. You know,
I forgot about your introduction. Yes, I'm doing fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to our guest.
Yes.
He's not only a cartoonist, he's also an author.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so everything he touches, like the Midas touch, And I have one more thing to say. I like to draw. I could have had a scholarship for art if I hadn't have gotten married as soon as I did, early as I did. But I know it takes a lot to be able to come up with the comic strip and then the draw it and the storyline. You know, for him to
right.
be doing several ones since like 1989, that's fantastic. That's unbelievable.
And you know what's so right? And you know what's so great is that where I've watched his videos and I looked at where he's like doing these seminars and these and educating folks, how fast he draws these characters. I mean,
yes.
it looks like he's just scribbling, but he's not. He's actually drawing. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't move my hand that fast and
to...
make it where you could understand it. You know what I'm saying?
It's,
oh, you've seen the
right.
videos,
I,
right?
I draw cartoons sometimes myself with my grandkids, or you know,
uh-huh.
if somebody want me to do something, I can draw. So it is when
oh.
it's something that you're normally used to doing, it's a lot easier. But to start out from the beginning, no, it's not. It's not.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know you knew how to draw. That's interesting.
Well,
but
yeah,
when you look at him,
I could have had a scholarship.
I mean, I'm just saying, when you look at him, and like I said, I watched his videos, and I'm looking at his hand is moving so fast, and it's like going left and right. And
mm-hmm.
even though he's making, you know, drawings that's vertical, horizontal, it's hard
all
to follow. You're like, how did he do that so quick? You know,
and not just
that fast.
And not just the drawings, but to come up with the storyline.
Well, yeah, which
strip.
We're going to talk to him about, the storylines
mm-hmm.
that he comes up with and everything. And that's what we're going to get into. I don't want to spoil it ahead of time, but because, you know, we'll get into who the characters. Yeah, we're going to get into who the characters are,
mm-hmm.
Joe and Marcy and a few other the characters
right.
that are in his comic strip. But let me go ahead and open up this mic, and I do believe, because our guest has the same number, similar, but I'm not going to, you know, I don't call out any numbers, but let me open up this mic. I do believe that this is, I'm pretty sure this is timing. I don't take no BS ship.
I do, Mike. How are you guys doing on this fine Saturday?
Just fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, how's the weather out there in Atlanta?
A little rain,
man.
But it's been really nice.
It's nice. It's nice where I'm at. Yeah. Janet lives a little further north than I do. I'm more close to Atlanta. She's further north. She's up there by, you know,
40, I'm about 45, 50 minutes from Michael.
She's up there by the backwoods mountain folks, and, you know, where they be
oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, she's up in that area.
Yeah.
I'm
uh-huh.
joking. But, no, but
she
in a way,
down there
she
with,
is.
Uncle
but,
Bubba. Is she up there, Mike, where Uncle Bubba is?
The, Uncle
Tennessee.
Bubba, there you go.
Uncle Bubba was in Tennessee. I
Uncle
guess
Bubba,
I am.
Cousin Buford.
Uncle Bubba.
You know, yeah, she up there. Yeah, Aunt Tootie, yep. She up in that area, yep. She up there, you know. Aunt so and so, yeah, she up there. But anyway, quickly before our guest joins us, because he's going to join us, we did schedule this show accordingly. He's supposed to join us at 15 after. Quickly, Jenna, I just want to ask you something, and we're going to get back to that later on. And by the way, I didn't say, hey, you guys, after our conversation with our special guest, we are going to talk about what has been going on in Hot Topics. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit of politics, a few other things, but there are some things that are coming, or that not coming up, but some things that have been discussed with this whole the FBI and all this stuff with Donald Trump. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to get your opinions and your point of view, you know, because I was on the show last week. I chimed in and asked a question. I just asked a freaking question, and I was like, you know, shocked because the host of the show was like, well, what the hell is Donald Trump being charged for? He ain't been charged. See, that's how ignorant you are. I said, I never said anything about him being charged. I said, with the investigation going on, and if they do find a reason to charge him, would he be charged and do jail time or just given a fine and probation, like they did with Sandy Berger? Right, but obviously these people, these individuals who attacked me on my question, don't recall the situation with Sandy Berger, and they don't recall the Sandy probation and have to pay a $100,000 fine. They don't recall the fact that there is a presidential, what is it, the presidential, the PRA Act, Records Act. That does exist. And that when it comes to important documents, it has to be scrutinized and examined before any president can remove it from a high security location. That was my question. But I'm the dummy here, I guess. But anyway, we'll get into that later on the show. But Janet, what did you think about last Saturday? And I apologize to all the listeners. If you didn't hear us live last Saturday, I do apologize. I intend on planning a broadcast that we previously had. And according to, well, Tommy, you said it was just dead air. You know I don't like dead air. That's what you heard. I apologize, you guys. And I think that's my fault, because even though if I schedule a late show or a rebroadcast, I still have to, which I did contact Law Talk, I still have to call in to activate that show. Right. So I do apologize.
And you didn't call in to activate?
I didn't.
Well, anyway.
But what did you think about the show last Saturday?
Okay. It was a little far, because it was out there in Lithonia Park.
Right.
You know, that
was a 55-minute
one-way trek.
Mm-hmm.
But
here in White,
but
I'm talking about the show, not the travel, the show. The show. How did you think about the show? What did you think
I'm
about the show?
I'm trying to tell you. I
okay.
said I had a chance to meet Karen White, and I really enjoyed taking pictures with her. And I saw O'Brien. I thought the performance out of this world with Karen and her backup dancers, singers, and and the duet she did with O'Brien. I actually got a chance to say hi to Shirley Jones with the Jones Girls, and I thought that was really nice. Met people that I had been talking with, too, but not actually face-to-face, so I was really happy about that. You know, the food, but the concert was really good.
I
could have made a whole lot of money cooking at that at a concert. You know, at that concert, the ladies
told
me macaroni and cheese was off the chain, and it was not at all.
Okay. And also, you had a photo, and you met also Carl Thomas. Remember
he was coming on the show. And he did real well.
Yeah.
You know, he did a good job. And, you know, they even, I can't remember the middle guy. But he was, like, taking his shirt off, singing all these love songs, passing out long stem
roses. Keep it going for a moment. Keep the conversation going, because my guest is calling me now. So keep the conversation going. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, well, we had a real good view, because we were right there past where they had the table. You know, so I really enjoyed it. You know, and it wasn't hot. You know, and it was full seating, full crowd. It was a full crowd. You know, but I enjoyed it. I really did. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to maybe doing other concerts. Probably not as far as that. Because,
right.
I mean, Georgia is not no little place. I mean, you're looking at, I picked up Michael. That was 45 minutes, then 55 minutes to get to the place. Then we had to fight the park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and then going back. So by the time I got home, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, 1 a.m.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I left out at 4:15. Got back home 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. But it was really good. It was really good. I'm just glad
really
I was
good,
able
good
to
concert,
see. I just hope if they do anything else, it'll be a little bit closer in, you know, because that was really far out there. You know, that's farther than me going downtown Atlanta. Takes 45 minutes. This was 55. And this was driving fast, not driving slow.
Really? Wow.
And Michael was a little busy beaver running around. taking pictures and talking to people and networking. Yeah, so I know he had a good time.
Well, it was good. You guys had a good time.
Right, right. I guess that's what it's all about. I was just glad I was able to attend.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what you been up to, Tana?
I'm trying to get my stand-up going back on, and we got a meeting set up with Macro Productions for my TV show sitcom. I'm sorry, my TV drama sitcom. Macro Productions, run by Charles King. They represent, Idris Elba and Michael B. Jordan. They're with their management team. And, Judas and the Black Messiah. So we're supposed to have a meeting with them on August 29th and so with their television department to see if they want to take on our drama, which, you know, we think that it would be great. So our literary agent set that up. But there's a cocktail kind of networking party on the 24th that we're going to to go and do, you know, so they'll supposed to be here for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get the stand-up and everything back
network?
On track.
Yeah, what network are you
going to
have?
Well, it will probably be for cable. It won't be for streaming. Won't be for regular television because of the content. Trying to keep it as authentic as possible. And that's what we've been up to.
Okay, you guys, I'm back.
Stand-up
and
on track.
And I'm back, and I see that our guest just called me, and he's on the board. And I see some of the co-hosts are here. So, co-hosts, hold tight. I'm going to open up your mics momentarily, but I definitely want to I don't want to keep him holding. But real quick, I want to say hello to 770-317. That's Officer Crenshaw.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
All right, you're here. I'm glad to see you there, Officer Crenshaw. You know, I got to keep it moving. Our guest is standing by. And hold tight a minute and 3, 4, 6, 2, 7. That is Cotton Campbell, I'm pretty sure. Cotton, is that you? Hello? All right, I can't. Wait a minute, I can't hear you. Hello? Okay, it sounded muffled. You might have to dial back in. Okay, so you guys, let me go ahead and let's get it started because, you know, Janet, like I told you, I said I came across his brother and I was like, wait a minute, this guy is interesting. This guy is deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started reading up on all the things, and which I know you've done too, I was like, oh, we have to have him on the show. And after watching his videos, I was like, oh, most definitely he has to be on the show. He is the – I'm sorry?
I just said
– Did somebody say something? Oh, okay. I was just hoping no one was interrupting while I do my introduction. But anyway.
Muted.
I'm sorry, you guys. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to open up his mic, and I want you guys to really put your hands together and welcome our special guest, cartoonist and really more than a cartoonist, author, Mr. Rob Armstrong is joining us today on the TMGS. So put your hands together and say hello to Rob Armstrong. Right. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Wow, that is something to
talk about. Hey, we do our best here.
Show, Michael.
Well, we were very honored and thankful that you joined us this Saturday. And like I said, I was just so, you know, amazed at your body of work and my co-host here when I shared it. And I watched your videos, and that's what really got me outside of all the other stuff that I'm sure we're going to try to get through, but all the other stuff. But your body of work and how you started out, how you kept your drive and determination to do what you do. That's what
Thank
really
you.
Got me, man. And I was like, yeah, this, you know, when they talk about people who can be role models, I want to just read this to all of you guys, if you don't mind, Rob, a little short bio here that I received.
I don't mind.
And it says, Rob Armstrong graduated from Syracuse University's College of Visual and Performing Arts in 1985. While a student at SU, he created a very popular comic strip for the Daily Orange called Hector. The appeal of that strip motivated him to pursue professional syndication on October the 2nd, 1989. Jumpstart was launched into 40 newspapers across the country. Today, his comic strip about a cop named Joe and his wife Marcy, a nurse, can be read daily in more than 400 papers. Let me repeat that for y'all that didn't hear it, okay? On October 2nd in 1989,
mm-hmm.
All right, 1989, Jumpstart was launched into 40 newspapers across the country. Today, his comic strip about a cop, which we have an officer on the line, one of our co-hosts, named Joe. See, Jeff, he almost had your name, but it starts with a J. Jeff Crenshaw, Officer Crenshaw, he's Joe. You're Jeff.
That's my dad.
Okay? And that's your dad. See, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And his wife, Marcy, a nurse, can be read daily in more than 400 newspapers. It is the most widely syndicated comic strip by an African-American cartoonist in history. Rob has authored Fearless, a cartoonist's guide to life, and On a Roll, a Jumpstart Treasury, both receiving 5 stars on Amazon. But Rob was bestowed an honorary doctorate from Holy Family University in 2012, and his comic strip, Jumpstart, is currently being developed as a TV sitcom on CBS. That's the Columbia Broadcasting Station. Not Columbian, Columbia. All right, you guys, don't get it wrong. It's an honor to cheer people up. This is his quote now. It's an honor to cheer people up every day. I feel that's one of the most important things a person can do. Quote from Rob Armstrong. Man, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's amazing. So we look at that, you know. Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
No, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here and to be reminded of some of that stuff. I don't think about everything you just said, but right, I'm humbled by it.
I first of all, I wanted to read that because thanks to Crystal for sending it. Thank you, Crystal, if you're listening. You know, your beginning, and I watched your videos, and I don't know, I told all my co-hosts to look at as many videos as possible on you and do their research, but there was one that caught my attention where you were talking to a group of individuals, and you did a drawing of a character that had like 15 thumbs or fingers or something like that, right? And you told the story about, well, your mom was so proud of you, of what you drew, even though it looked like an alien, but she was proud of you. Can you kind of share how that whole thing went about so we get an understanding of the way she pushed you to pursue what you're doing now?
Absolutely, man. I was really, really blessed to have a wonderful upbringing. My mother, I was in a single family household, but I was in a wonderful setting at an incredible time in our history. You know, I was born in 1962, so I got to see almost the entire civil rights era sort of play itself out.
Same with me.
Just had real heroes in my life. I mean, just, you know, I felt Dr. King was the guy I knew. I never met the guy. My sister met him. My mom went to his rallies, and it was just that era. It was an important era. But for me, mm-hmm. as a young kid, I didn't understand how turbulent it was all going to turn out to be. And during this very crazy period called 1960s, I just had this encouraging mother. You know, she just always took my work very seriously. When I was a little boy, I was demonstrating to that group of kids that you don't need to necessarily be the most talented kid in the world. As long as you have a parent who believes in you and encourages you, that talent can emerge, you know. And it did for me. And it saved me, man. I just, you know, the Dr. King being killed in 1968 was just the beginning of some terrible things that could have really derailed me. My oldest brother was also killed the same year. King was killed, obviously, in April 68. And July 1st of that same year, my brother was torn into two pieces by a subway train in this gruesome, crazy accident. It was only two blocks from where we lived. You could hear the subway coming and going every day, all day. And the sound of it haunted my mother. She just, you know, because Billy, my brother who was killed, he was 7 years older than me. He was kind of wild. He was known for horseplay. He was known for just, you know, taking an unnecessary risk with his life, you know what I mean? And my mother thought he's going to die on that subway one day. He just had this crazy premonition that that's where he would die. And he did. She gave him car fare to go into town, buy sneakers, and he and his friends used to horse around on the subway platform. They would play chicken with the train and stuff like that. And they would jump the chains. The chains would hold one car to another. One subway car to another. And they would leap the chain between cars. They would jump the turnstile, run, and jump the chain. That was their thing. And my mom said, one day you're going to get killed. I mean, I'm telling you, you can't. She said, look, here's some money. Pay fair as a normal person and walk on through the doors. Everything's going to be all right. And when he did that, one of his friends horsed around and startled the engineer driving it. And he shut the door on my brother and took off. And you guys, here's the thing about that, like, because he was a bigger than life figure to me. He seemed invincible, and he was known for this kind of crazy stuff. I mean, in some way, there was a shocking incident, Billy Armstrong dying, but like no one expected Billy to have a long life. He just was that wild, like that unpredictable. And when he passed, I was six. And from that moment to this moment on this podcast, I've had a very structured, self-disciplined, and very determined life. I just always saw life as something very brief. You know, and I wasn't a normal kid who just had, you know, this kind of wrong idea, in my opinion, a wrong idea about life. That it's going to be long, that, you know, you can do what you want, you can mess around, hang out, have, you know, go crazy. You know, I just never had that. I just always felt life is short. You got to get serious. And I was a serious little boy. And my mother respected that. And she got me into private school and stuff. And I was, I wasn't very prepared for how seriously she was going to be taking this. Because I, looking back on it, I'm like, wow, really? I mean, she had me in the private art programs when I was 10. And I wasn't in programs with like 10-year-olds. I was in art programs with adults. I was going to the Philadelphia College of Art on Saturdays with all adults. They were all in college. And April was really cute. I was a little cute little black boy, you know. And but I got the smell of canvas and oil paint and linseed oil and the touch of easel. And, you know, I stopped thinking of myself even as a child, really. I just thought of myself as an artist, you know. And once I started thinking that way, you guys, like, it's amazing, like, the power of the mind. Like, once you see, once you articulate a certain manifestation of yourself, takes on a real life of its own. It becomes the thing that you imagine. But you're now doing it. I wasn't saying one of these days I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be such and such. I was always, like, I just was. Like, I'm an artist. And people would ask me about what I wanted to be when I grew up and all that. I'm like, can't you see? I'm an artist. And I would draw. I just walked around ready to draw. I would pick, literally, I would pull out paper and draw for people, like right in front of them. It was incredible, like magic. Like, you know, I was just on some other stuff, as they say. You know what I mean? And if my mom loved that, she's like, you're just so fearless. Like, that's why my first book was called Fearless. You just draw, like, you don't sketch first, or you don't erase anything. you don't carry erasers and pencils. You carry pens and markers. Like, you just draw. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm going to get you into private school, you know. So I was like, what do you mean?
But I saw, I have to interrupt for a minute. I saw where you said there's a difference between an artist, and correct me if I'm right, I can't think of the other term. I saw the video. You said there's a difference. You were sharing something. There's a difference between an artist and a, I'm trying to think of the other word that you use. I'm probably have to go back. But you drew a line between the two. You know what I'm talking about? Right.
Between arts and craft. Arts and craft. There's an art.
Right.
There's craft. And,
right.
You know, you can be taught craft. You know, writing is a craft, frankly. You can learn, you know, you can learn to be a writer. You can improve your understanding of it. It's a discipline. Writing is a discipline that has certain structures built into it, and there's no getting around them. You can't come up with a whole new way of writing and expect people to dig up on it. I mean, you can interpret things through your writing, but you have to adhere to certain, you know, paradigms, period. There's just no getting around that.
Right,
different.
Exactly. Because you did explain it. Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
you did explain that there's a difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no limit to what you can do as an artist, because the artist is expressing what is happening inside of his or her creative soul. So, I mean, there is nothing that can't be expressed creatively to an artist. That includes people who dance, people who sing, people who write, and people who write poetry. You know what I mean? It's perfectly built for that person whose mind is so active that the only way they can accurately is to create. Like, not everybody needs to create, actually, but there are people. I'm one of many, many people that if I don't create, I'll die. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I can't not do this.
Right.
So, you know, Michelangelo had to paint that ceiling. One man, I don't think you've ever seen this thing in person. One man did that. Like, if 100 people had painted that ceiling, it would still be unbelievable. And you look up there and you go, one man did that. It just shows you what the power, this churning inside of the artist, how powerful it can be. So yeah, I hope that answers that question. What's the next question?
Well, no, the thing is that, now, here's the thing, though, Rob. My co-hosts always get on me about saying, well, Michael, you don't ask all the damn questions. You don't give us a chance. So I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and share the mic with them. But I have to say this one thing that I looked at about you and I saw in the video also is, we'll get into the Charles Schultz story in a minute after they ask the questions. But when you did that drawing and you were talking to the class that you were talking with, you're a funny guy. You kept folks laughing, though. You threw some punchlines and some jokes. And then and the way you did it, I thought, was so interesting and so creative. And the things that were, when you draw, and I remember you saying that where, and for you guys, I'm sorry, I'm stammering or stuttering in a sense, but if you go and look it up on YouTube, you look at this man's hand move, and it's so fast, and before you know it, here's the character, that quick. I mean, it's like your hand is moving like lightning speed, and all of a sudden, boom, here's Fred Flintstone, here's Marcy, here's Joe, here's just the characters that you created, right?
Right.
I mean, I find that very interesting. And you did say that where, you know, after time, it just becomes normal in a sense. I really don't have a question. I just want to give that comment. But let me go ahead and give the mic over to my co-host here. And, of course, the lady of the house, Janet Davis. I'm pretty sure you have a question or comment for Mr. Rob Armstrong. Janet, the mic is yours.
Okay, Janet.
Yes. I am so excited to be able to just talk to you because I saw where you graduated from university in Syracuse, and I was like 90 minutes from there because I was born and raised in Rochester, upstate New York.
Yeah.
And another thing, cool. I love art. I have been trying to, I've been drawing since I was like 2 years old, you know, winning contests.
Okay.
I could have had a scholarship, but I got married, and I know it takes a lot to be able to. Yeah.
Oh, you blame him, huh?
It takes a lot to be able to draw a whole strip, and then on top of that, you got to put the words in there, and you got to have the storyline. You know, so
right.
How long does it take for you to put all that together? Because I know you have to do it daily since you have a top, you know, several comic strips.
Yeah, I have to do it every day. I actually do 6 or 7 strips every day, not one every day. But I'm doing that because the further ahead, like right now, I'm working on strips that you won't see in the paper until November.
No.
The further ahead I work, the freer my life is. I wasn't always like this. I used to be kind of, I was actually energized early on in my career, and I would walk close to the line, like a couple weeks out, like 2 weeks out. And I was always, you know, getting phone calls from my syndicate, my editor, like, where's your strip, you know? But I don't hear from like that anymore, thank God. And I just have a busier life. I have TV projects, and I have things I gotta. I can't be walking close to a tightrope like that anymore. And I'm going to trip in September. I have to get my stuff ahead. So, but to answer your question more specifically, when something happens in my life, even if it's not funny, I have so many characters in Jumpstart. There's a cop, Joe, the main character, and his wife, Marcy, the nurse, and they have 4 kids, and the kids are all each very different. In fact, all the characters in Jumpstart are different from one another. There are no two characters that share many traits or anything. So I have this core cast of about 8 characters, and then they all have coworkers and they have relatives, and altogether there's close to 40 characters taking turns. So when happens in my – when something goes on, I think it's – it doesn't have to be funny. I mean, I love when something funny happens. Like my daughter called me last night. She's an adult. She lives in Pennsylvania. But she called me. Dad, Callie got sprayed by skunk. Callie's her dog. Cute little dog. Man. Callie got sprayed by skunk. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Sweet little girl dog. She's a wonderful little pet. And I feel bad that she got sprayed, but I'm so happy my daughter called to tell me that because I've done like 7 cartoons about it. Like, the second I hung up the phone, the phone wasn't even on completely on the hook, off the hook. I just said, oh, my, I'm so sorry. How's she doing? Well, she's scared. I got spray right in the face. Like, oh, no. And then I'm like, click,
and
boom.
And one more thing I need to ask you. I know I saw where Jumpstart is going to be a series. That's in the making right now. So when will that be? And I also read that it was going to be on CBS.
Or CBS, yeah. They're developing what's called a multi-cam sitcom. So multi-cam sitcom is like, you know, like The Cosby Show or Raymond or Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's got that look to it, kind of stage show kind of thing. And it's they call it multi-cam because it's different than, say, Blackish, which is a single cam. And Blackish, Modern Family, Abbott Elementary, those are single-cam sitcoms, meaning they can just follow people all throughout their world, you know. Multicams, you're kind of shooting on the sound stage. You can still go out, but you know, it's tricky. It's like when Good Times, when they left that apartment, it looked different.
Mm-hmm.
Where they at? You know what I mean? So you do stories that work in that format, and you know, it's challenging. It's different. It's very different than writing my strip. I draw Jumpstart by myself, and television is done with a giant collaborative effort. There's lots of
Right.
About producers and directors. So to answer your question, I don't know for sure, but I think we're looking at a year from September.
Okay.
That's about how long it's probably going to take.
Okay. I'll be looking
Fantastic.
Out for it. Yes.
All right. Rob, I got some folks that are raising their hands, and I want to go ahead and shoot it over to them if you don't mind, because I know you're
no
busy.
Problem.
We got limited time. 816-915 waved their hand. Hold tight, 816. I'm going to open your mic. I want to go ahead and go to the co-hosts and the individuals who've been here on the board for a moment. Let me go to Mr. Tom and Ship. Tommy, you have a question or comment?
Well, hey, Rob, as one artist to another, I'm a stand-up comedian, actor. And
all right. Okay.
I'm like you, man. Hey, you know, I always love talking to artists, especially, I think of guys like you because you and Magruder, what's his name, that did Boondocks.
Aaron, yeah.
You know, you guys, forget about, you know, how well, you guys are up on, current events, things that are going on, your thought process on what's going on in the world, and as you you're doing a comic strip and you do comedy. I'm like you as I relate. I'm always in my head putting stuff down because we're so observant of what's going on in the world, and something I do open mic probably 3 or 4 times a week, going up and just working on stuff, working on, different things to see if they work. I got put into a situation where I ended up doing a birthday party and I got a bad intro and I didn't know, but I had this, we do a thing called doing our homework. We look at age, look at ethnicity, we look at who our audience is, and then we put something together, and we put it out there. And I see that with you, I see you on TED Talk, and I said, man, this guy's already on, he's doing, and that was, 10 years ago you did that TED Talk?
Yeah, I don't think it was it 10, 8, somewhere like, yeah.
It said something like 8, 10, but I was like, I mean, the fact that that's what a drug is, that greatness, that you took your art to TED Talk and could explain to people about being an artist, putting something together. I think that's amazing, man. I commend you on that. Great job. I
appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm always looking to see how people working, as a
you're
fellow
the only
artist.
Other,
as
you're
well
the only
as,
other
you
guy.
Know.
You're the only other person I've ever spoke to in my life who understands how important it is not to have a bad introduction. Like, I beg people. I've written an introduction. Like, literally, it's written. I wrote my publicist didn't write it. I wrote my own introduction, right? And I literally print it out, and I hand it to people when I'm about to give a speech somewhere. I was like, please, do me a favor. What is anything? Yeah, I need you to read this word for word. Like, exactly what I put down here.
I didn't get
don't
one.
Do anything else.
I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo, bro.
Oh, no.
I didn't get that.
No, Michael, here's the thing. This is different. Like, this isn't, like, my man on the phone. Tell me your name again. I'm sorry, man. What's your name?
Oh, Timon Ship.
Yeah, Mr. Ship knows
my name is
talking.
Timon.
Simon. So Simon knows
Simon.
The difference between.
What
a T.
Like, the difference between a lot, like, standing in front of an audience and being on a podcast. I don't need a great intro, actually, to be on the podcast. There's a live performer version of me that needs a very specific introduction.
Right.
And you can't stray from it. Like, you can't, if you stray from it, I'm going to have a terrible 45 minutes up there.
I've bombed in front of 135. I've missed the edge of the stage in front of 200 and had to climb back up on stage and give the best 30 minutes I've ever done. I totally understand. I've had, especially, the brothers, when you go into a black club, you want a good intro. If they say, well, I don't know if this dude is funny, but here he is. You go up and you go, oh, my God. And you want them to love this guy coming up. So, yes.
Yes.
And doing a TED Talk, those are great audiences. That TED Talk, I haven't done a TED Talk. I've always wanted to do one, but I saw Michael Jr. do his TED Talk, and I took a glimpse of yours, and I was like, man, what a great crowd. What a great audience,
It was great.
You just came out there and just sketched, and they're watching you put your work together, people are sitting there amazed, man, I wish I could draw like that. And then you put words to it. You can take those characters, and you're writing what is the age range of your audience?
When I'm speaking live, I tend to be speaking in front of kids in school, grade school up to college.
Okay.
My comic strip strangely skews way older. Most of my readers are
right.
My age or older. So, but you know, when I meet a kid who's into my strip or something, that's great. I mean, some kids,
right.
because they see a black cartoonist and all that, become a cartoonist. I mean, I have a guy, one of my colleagues, became a cartoonist, having followed my, you know, my example. So, I love when younger people are into. But you know what? Any audience is, you know,
exactly.
great, man.
Right. Hey, look, I know we have a Well, I have to say this,
but
I know we have
to let him know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I work with juveniles. I work for L.A. County Probation Department for over 30 years.
Okay.
And I've incorporated
oh, wow.
working with juvenile criminals. And you know, people thought you were going to come out with a sitcom because, you know, I incorporated it into my stand-up. But I came out with a drama first, and I'm working on a sitcom for it, too. So I, you know, like you said, both people get what you're talking about because you would have to switch it up for the kids, but definitely the adults they get it because they relate. Because I would think that people relating to what you're talking about and relating to the characters. That's why
yeah.
I asked that question because you know, yeah, relating is so important.
It is so important. Like the characters carry the burden. There are lots of kids who want to know, you know, how do you? I say kids. People who read my strip or follow it, they want to know, how do I think of something every day? Or, I mean, as I said today, I'm going seven strips today, but I'm working on 30 strips too. I'm also working on 30, in addition to the seven on my desk, there's 30 in my studio in various stages of completion. So the more you do, the more you can do. Like the thing I want to impress on kids is, you don't want to treat any endeavor. I don't care. It doesn't have to be art. You don't want to treat anything like it's a shortcut or a quick way to make money. Like, do more than you need to do. Like, the more you do, the more you tap into your potential, your own potential. You don't know. I didn't know I could do 70 dailies, 10 Sundays. All at the same time until I attempted it, until I said, you know what, if I lay it out, plan out my day, I bet I can do this. And the work
is improved. Robin, I can ask you just one quick question. How long is your talk in front of the kids? Is it
45
an hour? How long?
Yeah, 45.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I've been working
I
on that, man. I'm asking because that's where I've been trying to go with it, too. Yeah.
Okay,
thing.
So let me go ahead and switch gears. And I'm not trying to be rude, but there are other folks on the board. I want to definitely give them a chance to chime in. And I'm not sure how long we have with you, Rob. But, again, appreciate you spending the time. So
cool,
let me know
man,
when
whatever,
you have to go.
Whatever you need.
Okay, I appreciate it, man, because, look, we could talk. My co-host can go, and I know that they have a lot of questions. And I know that I have Officer Crenshaw on the board. Yeah, Janet, you know that. Officer Crenshaw, I believe you're here on the board. And I wanted him to chime in because, and then here's somebody else who's popping up on the board, because the character, the main characters, Joe and Marcy, Joe is
right.
a police officer and Marcy is a nurse. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Cosby,
yeah.
but, you know, one upholds the law and not break the law. Okay, I didn't mean that for a boom, boom. But anyway. how you came up with
yeah.
that idea is really interesting. But let me see if Officer Crenshaw has a question or comment first. Officer Crenshaw, are you there?
Okay.
I'm here. I just wanted to ask him, I mean, I'm not an artist. I'm more of a sketcher. But I draw from vision as well as memory. And I wanted to ask,
okay.
how often do you challenge yourself as far as not just your drawings or what they're going to be about, but the actual background that they're going to be on. And I asked that question because I've drawn, I can sketch on paper, on, you know, on cardboard or whatever and draw it out. But I challenged myself to do things that I could save for my kids. So I started doing it on plywood.
Oh, wow.
And okay. Once I did it on plywood, I could actually cut it out, paint it, color it, and we used some of it over at my church for the wise people. So I just, that was
I'm into
my
that.
Question. Do you challenge
yourself? I'm also a painter. I have canvases here in my studio, things I've done. Most people don't know that I'm a painter. You got to come to my house to know that. But I do have
we'll be there
tomorrow. To people who commission. Say it again.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I was joking. We'll be there tomorrow to see them.
Yeah, come on, man. I'll make some coffee. I have two patrons who consistently buy, you know, they want specific things, and I'll do it. And they want paintings. They actually don't want they respect what I do. They seem to enjoy my comics, but they want paintings. Like, this one guy is a black businessman in Philly. He's a big sports guy, so he commissions,
right,
like NASCAR. He'd be a great guest for you. He actually teaches young black kids about NASCAR. He has a thing called Urban Youth Racing, and they have little cars. He has a whole track. He's got a huge operation. I mean, huge, multi-million-dollar operation. And he likes NASCAR paintings and all that, and I do these cars and stuff. Like, you would never know that that's my thing. Like, I love it. I mean, I do challenge myself. I do push myself. If that's not my interest, I'm a sports fan, but I'm not. Like, he's like, LeBron, can you paint me LeBron James blocking that shot again with the, you know, in the playoffs? I'm like, I gotta do some research. But, yeah, man,
yeah.
It was 9 feet. It's a 9 foot canvas. It was huge. And yeah, challenge yourself as an artist, and also paint and draw from life. What Officer Crenshaw is talking about is got a very deeper level to it, because kids, very often, not all the time, but very, very frequently, the kids I hear from are drawing too often from existing inspiration, existing product, existing IP, is what it's called. Intellectual property. It's some manga thing. It's some game. It's some video that currently exists on TV. And I began that way with Flint Stones and whatnot. But you want to draw from life. You want to look at this world and sit down with a sketch pad in the park and draw someone while they're walking. Draw them. It doesn't have to look like exactly like them. Capture gesture, posture, how a woman sits versus how a man sits. How a dog reclines, how a dog sits versus how a baby sits. Mm. You want to capture life. The artist is not the one who draws. The artist is the one who sees. The artist is seeing. They're seeing what other people ignore.
I have to say, when I was a kid, I tried drawing, and I was trying to draw Mickey Mouse, and I had the ears right, but his nose was too long, and all my classmates said, that looks like Mickey Rat. You know, so anyway, which he did. He was like Mickey Rat. But 209-990, your mic is open. Do you have a question or comment for our guest, Mr. Rob Armstrong?
This is Cotton, and I apologize. My other phone isn't working properly, so I had to call from this line. But I want to say that when I researched you, I was thoroughly impressed, because I was like, oh my God, comics is back. Yes, because I used to listen to read Blondie and the Family Circle. I think this was a Circle Family or whatever it's called. But
Family
those
Circle.
Were, I loved those. They were funny. You love to just read those little short strips of comedy, and you have definitely put that back on the table. So I just want to say I'm very impressed.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I appreciate it. You mentioned my favorites going back in the day. I got to meet a lot of these people. The thing about being a cartoonist, like, the world of cartooning professionally is relatively small. I mean, it's probably 300 to 400 people making their living this way in the entire United States. So, you know, we have a convention or something like that. You can walk around and go, hey, man, you know, just like some guy you've been following your whole life. And I got to meet all these guys. Like, Bill Keen did the family. He passed away. God rest. Bill Keen did the Family Circus. His son, Jeff Keen, does the Family Circus now. And I saw Jeff 3 weeks ago. Sweet family. Like, this sweet dude. He's got two sons. Jeff does the Family Circus. His other son works for Disney. He designed the Beauty and the Beast and Lion King and all that kind of. The Tarzan, Disney Tarzan was his, and like he's that kind of cartoon animator. So you get to see all your heroes. And I met Charles Schulz that way. I met Charles Schulz because we were with the same syndicate. When I signed my deal, I was with United Teachers Syndicate, and so was Charles Schulz. He was an icon then, a legend. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm with the guy. My editor is his editor.
Right.
It was freaky. I was,
and for you
young,
folks who don't know
person.
Who Charles Schulz is, Charles Schulz is the creator of the Peanuts game, Charlie Brown. So, but I'm just saying that real quick. I'm sorry, Rob, but because we do have some young folks be like, who? You got to kind of like lead the move. Who? Charles
right.
who? The, yeah, he created Charlie Brown. The cartoon you look at every single Thanksgiving and Christmas that come on TV that's been aired every year ever since it was created. Charles
that's
Schulz
right.
created that. But I want to ask you this, which I found very interesting. In one of your seminars or one of your videos I saw, is that you actually write your cartoons backwards. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? Explain that.
Yes. Well, my characters lead the process. In other words, I'm doing a character-driven work, not a gag-driven work. So difference is sometimes you read a comic strip or you read a funny cartoon like The Far Side, for example. That's gag-driven. There's a joke this guy is telling, and that joke is everything. It doesn't matter the character he's drawing changes from time to time. It doesn't matter whether it's a talking cow or a Martian. He's doing gag-driven work. And sometimes, even in comic strips, you can do Garfield versus what I'm doing. Garfield's also gag-driven. So doing a character-driven piece, I have to be well invested in these police officers. I got to be well invested in this nurse. I'm not a cop. I'm not a nurse. One of the characters is a football player. I'm not a football player. But I got to research these characters. I have to get best invested in them to the point where they can actually speak to me instead of me speaking through them. So I'm not actually fully responsible. Some imaginary character is literally speaking to me. That's probably tell my psychiatrist this, but an imaginary character is telling me what they would like to do versus me saying,
yeah.
You know, it'd be great if you do that. I don't do that. I try and listen for them. It doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Whenever it happens, I jump up. My wife would tell you. I jump up and I scribble down. My office is upstairs next to the bedroom. I run in there. She's like, where you going? I said, I'll be back. And I just scribble down this thing. Sometimes it's terrible. I mean, the next day I look at it, I'm like, what is that? And then other times I look at it and I say, it's not funny right now, but I can see how this could be something that could help develop my nurse couch. Sometimes it's got something to do with her more like that kind of thing. So the reason I work backward is to make a comic strip function day after day after day, it has to land. It's got to land every day. It can't meander. You can't just run out of time and just start at the beginning and meander and just go, that's it, that's the end. Like, that doesn't work. You have to land with a punch, right? Something memorable. Sometimes funny, not always funny, sometimes just meaningful. So that meaningful thing, whatever that is, has to be the first thing that goes down. So the biggest punch or the most meaningful punch is the final frame, and I'll start with that. Like, it's got to end this way. Believe it or not, man, screenplay. I'm also a screenwriter. I've written I got a project coming out on Apple TV also in about a year. And in my screenplay, too, it's not even jump-started. It's a whole other thing. In the screenplay, too, you end, you write the final, when you're sitting down to write a screenplay, the final scene, you write that. When you're writing a book, a novel, the final, like when you finish this whole book, you're going to see this unbelievable moment. Here it is. Boom. You come up with that. And if that doesn't knock you out, if that moment that's knock you. Don't write the book. Like, don't, if you've written down your final page and it's not a killer, like it doesn't shock you, don't bother writing this book. It will be a letdown. So, if your final panel in Jumpstart is not good, don't do that strip. Think of a different strip. And the same thing goes for film, movies. If that final scene doesn't have you saying to your friend, bro, did you just see what I just saw? Did you see that? Like, if that's not happening, you're not a screenwriter. If you're incapable of doing that, this is not your gig. But if you have an imagination, you're not afraid of your own imagination. If you're a lot of young people are afraid of their own imagination. They don't understand the force in them that they can't quite figure out. That's their imagination. So if you don't understand,
well, you know what? I want us to talk about that. I want to talk about that because what you do, because and as you heard all of us say, where, you know, like I remember Beetle Bailey, I remember Andy Capp, all the stuff that I used to, you know, the Sunday newspaper had the color one,
right,
and everything. Because I'm 60 years old, and many of us here are in our early or our later ages, but we still remember that. And I remember that sometimes the newspaper, especially the comic strip, was the wrapping for Christmas gifts. Do y'all remember that? Okay. It was fun. But anyway.
I still do that.
But it was. It really was. But the thing is that we're going back to about kids and then the new technology, the new thing about the video games. And congratulations on the workings that you have going on with CBS of a new show, but I want you to come back and tell us a little bit about that, share a little bit about that, but I have to pay a bill here, and real quick, let's do a quick drop. You guys, we'll be right back, and I'm going to let St. James tell you who you're listening to.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
See, that was really easy, right? Okay. So we're back with our special guest, Mr. Rob Armstrong, cartoonist, creator of Jumpstart, over 400. And I like the fact it says over 400 publications daily. and you share with us already of what your whole process is. And to me, that's so amazing. That when something hits you and you get up in the middle of the night and everything, Janet Davis, who's been my right hand as far as me doing this network, and I appreciate talking to people like yourself because it keeps me going. And when I'm introduced to folks like yourself for what I'm doing, right? And
thanks, Michael.
I have a bad habit of not writing stuff down, so I call Janet. And I say, Janet, we need to do this and the other. And she whips out a pen and paper and says, well, okay, well, hold on, Mike, slow down. Yes, we do have our conversations, and everything. But it'll hit me, And just like having you here on the show, it was like I came across your name and I came across and I started researching. I said, Janet, we have to have him on the show. And I'm thankful that you came on and love for you to come back again. Because what I've seen of your work.
Can I say one thing?
You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about, Rob? This is the conversation that we have, even when we're not here. She didn't even let me finish. But the thing is that but she was like, okay, cool, fine, But the thing, all I'm saying is that I love the fact that when we can share something like, or someone like yourself, that's doing something that many people think is a lost art, but have no clue. And everybody is going after, well, I'm going to go to school for this. I'm going to go to school for that. Oh, and then you look at the gaming industry, all that stuff. But you're doing cartoons, and you actually are in a very lucrative field that people are running from. What's your take on this whole thing with the gaming industry and everything and all the virtual stuff and everything and you doing what you're doing? I mean, I'm sure you probably know some friends or have some friends or know some folks who are into that whole thing. What's your take on this compared to what you do? And have you ever thought about getting into that or contributing to it?
No, not for me. No, I mean, you know, I never say no or never, but I mean, someone would have to approach me and say, here's what
with a lot of money.
Here's what you have to do. Here's the money. Right, here's going to pay you. I mean, I, you know, but that whole industry, the gaming industry, is an outgrowth of just our progress as human beings. I mean, as a nation, as a world. Mm-hmm. That's a product of the digital information age, and it's right. incredibly. Not just lucrative, but it's very enticing to young people because this is also the source of their entertainment now. This is the source of their fun.
Right.
We grew up, we went to the movie, we watched Bruce Lee. You know, we went and saw that. We're like, wait a second, I might be Bruce Lee. So, you know, we took karate lessons, or we thought we were taking karate
mm-hmm.
lessons. We get into fight.
Right.
We out there jumping and kicking and going, waha, and, you know, getting beat up and stuff.
And we had nunchucks back then until they outlawed them. But go ahead.
Of course. We needed the nunchucks, but we couldn't really fight. So we bring those out, and then that would make people run. You know what I mean? But that was our fun. You know, that's so we naturally, I mean, especially me, I thought I was Chinese. I was like, but I'm Bruce Lee, for real. Like, my friends are acting like that. But I'm like, yo, I'm actually Chinese. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, I'm related to Bruce Lee. And I was hoping to not have to fight. I would tell them that and have them get scared. And sometimes that works. They say, this guy, he's part Chinese. Don't mess with him. You know what I mean? So
you thought you were Bruce Leroy. You thought you were Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
From The Last Dragon. Bruce Leroy. Exactly. Show enough. You know what I'm talking
right.
about. So you got to understand what's happening to the young people means a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't try to shove my career, you know, down anybody's throat. I want to expose what I'm doing because it is lucrative. It is lucrative, and
you're
right. looking. So our industry needs young people to be interested in it, just like the video game industry needs it. So I want to show them, look, I'm doing this thing. If you can relate to me because I'm an African-American man, that's great. If I can inspire you, that's even better. But if I can encourage you, I'd be happy to encourage you. I'd be happy to instruct you. I'd be happy to show you this way. I'll read this blueprint out to you. It can be a part of your life, but it requires extraordinary drive and commitment because this career has, you know, it's a rocky road. It's peril and rejection. You just can't sign up for it. No one you can't get hired to do it. You got to fight your way in the
right.
way. You got to withstand
okay.
ridiculous amounts of rejection to get into this business. They're going to tell you no for years on end. So that's what I'm trying to get. I want to strengthen everybody and say, look, don't let the word no. I don't care if it happens every day. Don't let the word no stop you from doing what God gave you to do. Period.
Mm-hmm. Very good point, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna contact you. I'm gonna contact you, Rob. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll
contact you about
who's
that. Yeah,
that
we have a lot to talk about.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was timing. Well, okay, I want to go around the board, see if anybody has any last questions or comments for Rob. We definitely kept him a little bit longer than we agreed to, but Rob, I truly appreciate it. So let me go to the lady of the house first. Huh? Okay, because we're going to move on to our next topic, but I definitely want everybody to have their last question or comment because this has been a very interesting conversation, and you know that's what we strive to do, have some great guests and great conversation and education on the show. So you really have taught us a lot, and we definitely do appreciate you. Again, I want you guys, if you don't know who Rob Armstrong is, right now is the time to go to YouTube. Rob with two B's, not one. Okay, we had to make sure that was right. Two B's, R-O-B-B Armstrong, and check out the videos of him educating not just the individuals that he's talking to, but yourself, and sharing his unique and interesting style of being a cartoonist and a book writer. You have a book coming out, correct?
Yes, I have a book.
Well, you have
a book
already. Mm-hmm.
It's out now. You can go
so do us a favor. Share
share how we can get your book, because once they see the video, I'm pretty sure they're going to want to check out the book.
Okay, well, the book is, you go to Amazon and just type in On a Roll. You can even type my name. If you just type in Rob Armstrong with two B's, all my books will come up, literally, every one of them. But go to Amazon, type in Fearless. You'll see my Fearless. You type in On a Roll, O-N-A-R-O-L-L, On a Roll, a Jumpstart Treasury. The Jumpstart On a Roll Treasury, by the way, is the only treasury. The treasury is a collection spanning an entire career. It's the only collection by an African-American cartoonist. Only one in the whole world. Mm. So you want to get that just as a keepsake in time for the next birthday.
Okay. Janet, any final comments or questions for our guests?
Yes, I really enjoyed listening to you and your stories, and I'm looking forward to the comedy, the strip, the thing on CBS with Jumpstart, because I was looking at a few of your strips, and they were, like I saw one when Marcy was talking about SCT or something she was telling her husband, and SBT, and she had all these books in the bed. And then when he said he had a bad day at work, and she was like, she thought something was wrong with him. And then he said it was because she had all those books in the bed, his back was hurting. So I thought it was serious and funny all at the same time. You know, I thought that was really nice. And you are the first guest that I did a flyer almost 2 weeks early. You know, I was so excited. I really did your flyer early.
Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. What did you just say, Janet? He's the first guest that did what, man?
That
you
did
a 2 weeks in advance?
What? Real early.
Jump on it early.
I'll talk to you when we hang up, Janet. Don't throw our business out there like that.
No.
Yeah, we. No, I'm saying that we do have some guests that be like, yeah, okay, fine. And then when we send them the flyer, be like, well, can you change this? Can you change that? And they'll text me and say, can you change this? Can you word it like this? And then I know Janet's going to be pissed because, like, I got to go back and do it again. So that happens. But, you know, you know how it is. That's the world of this business. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
And for you other co-hosts, you guys see this is what we go through. I want to go ahead and make sure I let everybody have a chance to give their final comments and questions. But if you don't have a question, give your final comments. Let's see. Let me go to Cotton Campbell, ladies first. Cotton Campbell, what's your final comment or question for our guests?
I just want to say thank you for bringing back the comic strip. And keep doing what you're doing. Like I said, I'm and I'm going to continue to follow and share your information.
Thank you. That's very sweet. Appreciate that.
Fantastic. Officer Crenshaw, you have something to say?
Thank you for being an inspiration and bringing back the comics. And you can just tell in your words that this is your passion. I mean, it's hard to express. When you're talking about it, it's almost like it's better than having sex. You're so into what you're saying. You're into it. So, no, it's your passion.
Wow.
It's your life.
Well, I don't know about the sex part, but it's kind of close, I guess. You know,
I hate the comment. My wife might hear.
I'd rather have the sex and then read his comment shit. You know, what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I will have sex first. And then I will read his comic strip and be like, hey, baby, roll over. Read this.
I'll still be there.
But
I'll
anyway,
still be there. Yeah.
Okay, so let me see. Officer Crenshaw never fails to make me laugh. Okay. And, of course, Timon doesn't either. Timon, your final question or comment.
Hey, I'm going to, Rob, please put your info out. Are you out in L.A.?
I am, yeah.
Okay, I'm out in the valley. Yeah, I'm in Van Nuys. Yeah.
Very cool.
I'd love to get your info and get in contact with you. You know, pick your brain. You know, we can, share different info and everything, because I'm definitely with my own things that I'm doing, you know, was definitely trying to reach out to, you know, doing, you know, working with schools and different things like that, as
yeah.
well as I have my scripts that I'm trying to get off at the ground, too. Yeah.
All right.
So,
well,
yeah,
I need to get
a hold
of them. My email is rob@robarmstrong.com. Easy.
Okay. Rob, what is it?
Rob Armstrong. Two B's. Yeah,
rob@robarmstrong.com.
I got two B's in my name, not one.
With two B's, right. R-O-B-B Armstrong.
Right.
Exactly.
Because right. my whole name is actually Robin with two B's. So that's why that happened.
No, definitely. I understand. Trust me. I definitely understand. Rob, man, I truly appreciate you. Tell the missus I said thank you. Appreciate her, too, keeping in contact with me. I'm sorry?
I'll tell her, man. She likes
working with you. Yeah, I truly appreciate her because she got back with me right away, and then I was kind of out of pocket dealing with a lot of things that was going on this end. But, you know, I truly appreciate you being a guest here today. And all the co-hosts, I thank you guys for chiming in and speaking with our guests. If possible, I hope you will come back on the show in the not-too-distant future.
I would love to.
And,
well,
we would love to have you back. Yeah, and next time what I want to do is get some young folks on and listen to what you're talking about. Like you said, you don't try to shove it down anybody's throat, but at least give them a platform to hear and look at the options and the possibilities of doing something. Because there's a lot of folks out there. I know a lot of folks out there. I've seen them draw. I've seen even on jobs, little companies I work for, where they would do the you know, they would be like, oh, you know how to write nice, you know, they have nice cursive or this, that, and the other. And it'd be like gothic. And I'm like, wow, you write like that? Yeah, I do paintings. I do. I'm like, and you're not trying to do nothing with it? And that's the truth. There's people out there that have talent, and they just don't have the avenue or the connection, I should say, maybe a bad choice of words, of using that talent, you know, using that talent.
Yeah.
So, again, hey, man, thank you. God bless. And please come back soon. All right?
I would
and
love to
if
come.
You don't mind, I have your number. I don't give out any numbers. I have your number. You have mine. But get in touch with me whenever you can so we can network because, well, we can network, right, and get your information out to other locations. Okay, so you guys, do me a favor. Put your hands together for our special guest, cartoonist, author, Mr. Rob. Put your hands together, y'all. All right. So Rob is still here on the board, and we want to thank him for being here on the show today, you guys. And you know that there are some other topics. You know, we do our hot topics. Normally we do it before we have our guests, but, you know, we couldn't hold this one in the bag. So we thank him for joining us early in the show. So Janet Davis, wow, what's going on in politics now? I thought we had enough of Donald Trump once he left office. And, yes, you guys, we're going to get into this whole politics thing a little bit. But, I mean, this is like a broken record.
Yes, it is.
What's going on here? What's happening here? Because we're coming to the elections, and here he supposedly had taken some very secret files, and the FBI had to go get them, and you know, they're saying that that's not against the law. Explain to us what's going on, Janet. You're the expert here.
Well, this has been going on ever since Donald Trump really left the office. The archives have been trying to get paperwork and documents from him that he took with him to Mar-a-Lago. So after a few months, they managed to collect 15 boxes of documents. And then they realized there were some things missing. So they went back and they negotiated and they were able to get two more boxes. But I think someone called from within and said that he had other documents that was top secret, you know, classified. And so they tried to get them from him. He said they were his, not theirs. So they went in. They didn't raid. It was all scheduled. They went in and gathered up 11 more boxes, 11 or 12 more boxes of documents. And some of those documents were secret. Yes, some of those documents were secret, top classified documents, documents that have to go into a SCIV in order for people to really look at it. And you can't look at it by yourself. You have to have several people signing off, making sure that everything gets back where it's supposed to go. And so the FBI didn't say anything. This was all low-key. They even went in without uniforms and everything, on no jackets. They went in with regular clothes. Donald Trump was the one that made the announcement that they raided Mar-a-Lago and they broke into his safe. His family was watching it on closed circuit TV.
Okay. So let's stop there for a moment, because let's make this very clear. Donald Trump was not there when it happened.
No, he wasn't there. But here's the thing.
Because I'm going to keep asking some questions, because you follow this more than I do, but I'm aware of what happened here. Okay, so he allegedly, and I'm going to say allegedly, because some folks say it's not against the law. In fact, I share with you that some folks said, Michael, what the hell are you talking about? He didn't break no law. Every president has done this. That's bullshit. That not every president has done this. Okay?
No.
Because there's something called the presidential, there's a thing called the Presidential Record Act, and that came into play after the Nixon Watergate situation. Okay, that's when that came into place. So, then again, any documentation, even if you declassify it, has to go through a what? Archivist, right? According to what I've read on different things, is that where an individual has to take a look at that before a president can make it public. But here's the thing. Why did Donald Trump take it off the premises? For what reason? And here's the thing I want to question this. What would he benefit of taking these top secret documents, which we've been told that's what they are. They are documents that they say are definitely top secret, stuff that should not be open, which you just shared, that should be in a closed area. And then here's the former president who has been chummy with two of our most unlike foes in the world, which is Putin and Kim Jong Il. Is it Il or Un?
Turkey Erdogan.
And Turkey, those are the two that he says, or Donald Trump said, President Putin said he didn't do this, and then I believe him. You believe that hold on a minute. He said he believes what the president of Russia, who used to be KGB, y'all don't know what the KGB was, he believes the Russian president, and he believes the president of North Korea, which we all know are communist countries. We live in a so-called democratic, but you're going to believe this. And then when you leave the White House and you say, hey, it was stolen, the election was stolen, but you stole some documents. Does that sound right?
No. Do you remember how bad it was for Hillary Clinton for her emails? Well, this is like 50 times worse, because you got classified documents. Some of them might even be nuclear. You know, so why would you want that at a place where it's not secured?
Well, now the thing is that he's got classified documents should not been off the premises where they were taken from. We already know that, and we've already been told that. And again, I just said, why would you take them? Why would you set yourself up?
why would you lie and say, oh, that's it, I gave you everything I have, and then they come back and find you had more. And then, like I said, I had a debate with some individuals. I'm like, hey, look, that, okay, that is actually, it doesn't have to be what people may expect, but just the fact that, what is the term, obstruction of justice could be a charge, not necessarily put you in jail, but that's a charge that goes in your record.
And they also know that over the years that he was president in the United States, he gave away some information that was not supposed to be, some classified information that he put out there for everybody to see that was not right, you know.
Okay.
And we all know,
so let me go ahead.
We all know he also owed money. He owed money to Russia. He owed money to Turkey.
Right, right. Okay, so let me go to, I'm sorry, let me go to Timon. Timon, what's your view on this whole thing? Because, I mean, I have friends that are Republicans. No, what I'm saying, I mean, I got chewed out from folks because the things that were, I just said, what if? I didn't say that there was any anything of where, oh, they got Donald Trump now. And then the person tried to say, oh, you hate Donald Trump. You hate him, hate him. I'm like, I don't hate nobody. That's a waste of my fucking energy. I dislike what he does. I dislike what he does. And there are some Democrats I dislike what they do. But I don't hate anybody. I just dislike. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that where do you feel that they have something to charge them with anything, which this is the question I ask, or as they're going through this investigation, do you feel like that they will actually be able to put him in jail? And looking at the threats that are going against, because it's 50-50 now, according to what I looked at. Now, it might be different. Jen and I talked about that. Jen and I talked about it. Okay, hold on. I'm going to finish up with this. But now, since what had just recently happened, I think more people are looking at, oh, yeah, he did something wrong. Do you really think that they could put Donald Trump in jail? Are they going to hit him in his pockets, give him probation, and let him just be a free man and not allow him to run for office?
The worst thing, look, what we want is to make sure that he never runs for office again.
Thank you.
Okay, so,
and that's what they're trying to do,
right? So even though he may not go to jail, okay, he's already, they got the espionage charge on him. They have they have all the different charges of what he had. One, there is no documents that he signed to take that information out of the White House. What they want already, 18 of his former colleagues from his cabinet have already spoke up and called it BS on everything that he said when he said that he declassified. You can't declassify shit, okay?
A blanket classification.
He has no way of doing it. Do you understand what you have to go to declassify? Some of the boxes that he had, that information has to be in a sealed place where jam your cell phone and your, if you're wearing a Fitbit, you can't have it, Mike. He has shot himself in the foot, okay? Because one, they want to know who put the documents in the boxes, when they took them out, he put them in a basement that had no padlocks on it, okay? He took information, Mike, that he did not have. Look, they had Berger, as well as someone else, and Petraeus also received charges for taking information out of the White House that they did not have the authority to do. So he can I'm telling you, everybody, I'm talking to the same people, Mike. They say, oh, shit, they're not going to get it.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on a minute. So that everybody who's listening is not at a loss. See, so I want to get everybody on track here. So I have this here, according to the Washington Post. The question is, what is the Presidential Records Act? And it is, and I'm just going to read briefly what it is. It says, it's a law enacted by Congress in 1978 as one of several post-Watergate measures, okay, aimed at combating potential corruption in the White House. President Richard Nixon had challenged the legality of a predecessor to the PRA, which is the Presidential Records Act, okay, which sought to prevent him from destroying any of 42 million pages of documents and 880 tape recordings from his time in office. But the U.S. Supreme Court said Congress had the authority to regulate presidential documents, both from posterity and to ensure their availability for criminal prosecutions. All right, so back to what we're just talking about. There is also a section here. Well, I'm almost done. There's always a section here, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, of where those records have to go through an archivist to make sure there's nothing that could be shared that can hurt the United States as far as top secret information that maybe our foes might can use, okay, against us. And Donald Trump has not proven, and even the people who are defending Donald Trump have said, oh, no, he was the president. No, this is what they said. He was the president. He can declassify anytime he wants to. But there has to be a record of it, y'all. I mean, just because you're the president doesn't mean that you can sit on the sidewalk and not get a ticket for it.
Mike, what they've already stated, okay, which is the reason why it's been so methodical. He's had the information in his possession for 15 months.
That's
okay?
Right.
They went to him the first time. They only gave back a few, and one of his lawyers signed off on saying we gave back everything. Now, mind you, the FBI,
that's what I'm saying. Yes.
Cipollone,
that's a lot.
Wait a minute. So the FBI interviewed Cipollone and the other lawyer that represent him, and they were trying to get him to give it back. They told him he wouldn't do it. That's when he came up and said, this is mine. So when they gave the subpoena and found out he had another 11 to 14 boxes of stuff that he wasn't supposed to have that was not locked away. It was in an unpadded room that had no padlock on.
Right.
Okay. And so that's the reason why when they came at him, there was no raid. They went to the proper channel to get the information from him. So that's why Cipollone and all the other cats and the 18 people who came out against him who worked for him told him this is BS, and they talked to John Bolton. All you got to do is listen to what John Bolton said.
Yeah, I listened to that. Hold on, I want to intervene for a minute. Give me a minute. I saw the interview with John Bolton, okay? So you're preaching to me what I already seen, and right, John Bolton was on point because he said he never heard of any bullshit like this. Right, okay? Then, but here's the thing. I'm just trying to get to the meat and the potatoes of this. Here are people who are testifying that when Donald Trump said he's going to have the best of the best in his administration, look what's happening. His best of the best, he either threw them under the bus or they are testifying against him. Rudy Giuliani was ordered to come here to Atlanta the other day when he was here. Behind closed doors. We don't know what happened in that. The judge now, next Thursday, is going to make a determination as far as that information, as far as the search warrant, of how much is going to be redacted. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. So
right.
Here's the thing.
What?
I go back to this whole question, is that do you think, because Donald Trump has many legal issues here in Georgia, in D.C.,
other places. He's dealing with a whole lot of legal issues. Do you think he's going to be convicted of any of them at all? Because
yeah.
he wasn't convicted of the other ones. Because he was not convicted, he was not impeached. But the thing is, with these things that are going on, do you think he's going to be convicted? And if he
he's
is,
no longer president.
Do you think? No, I know he's not going to be president again or able to be president.
He doesn't get the same treatment.
But you have a Senate that has a voice in it, and the Senate has been saying that he's
Mitch McConnell, okay.
Right, exactly. That's my point.
Mitch
McConnell said he's the reason.
Well, Mike.
That's what I just said. He stated that he is the one who caused the insurrection, but he did not back.
No, that's not what I'm
talking
about.
No, he's not going to be able to take over the Senate because of the people that Trump got in place. He knows he's giving.
Okay.
That's why they didn't want him to do the things he did in Atlanta. That's why they told him to shut his mouth because he wouldn't. And guess what happened? Warnock and the other cat won, and which
that's
he's
right.
done it again. He's destroying the very
off, yeah.
Republican Party from the inside. They're eating them. They're eating their own young right now. And Mitch McConnell is afraid that this idiot is going to he's going to blow up, and they're worried that he's going to destroy democracy. Okay, it's a bigger picture than just what he did. It's also how he's getting these people stirred up, and he's lying to them because every time he plays victim, Mike, they send him a check. The man has made well over $2 million off of the crap that he sold them. That's what they're afraid of. He is not. He
yeah,
is,
right.
Will he go to jail?
Right.
He should go to jail.
He should go to jail.
Okay.
But if he don't go to jail, they need to not let him be able to run, and they need to dock his pension. Because the things that he did were serious. The more he gets away with it, the worse he gets.
Well, that's the whole point I'm asking you guys, because he's gotten away with a lot of shit, right? And the things that were.
This is different, though, Mike. This is different.
Oh, I know it's different. I know it's
different.
But you know, Ethan Couch was different when he killed those other individuals and never spent a day in jail. Okay, that was different. And what's going on?
They're trying to
Ethan
make it look like this is not serious, but this is serious.
I understand that, Janet, but
Mike, that's why they're taking their time. You need to understand. That's why they do not want you in on the affidavit.
That's a good
because
point.
The affidavit,
that's
they're going
point.
To redact it enough that you're not going to be able to know. That's why they're doing it. He brought this on himself. All he had to do was give back the documents. But the fact
that
he kept them, and now that they know what he's got, dude, they are going right now. They are going through all that stuff. And all
that's
those people, Mike, it's so bad, he can't even find an attorney to represent him. They won't
fight
him.
Okay.
Not even class three, you know.
He just got one of the former Justice Department attorneys going representing. So he's got that attorney now. But all of this is being done strategically. All of it's being done strategically. Trump is going to get charged. All this money that he's collecting from these willful idiots that are giving him money.
That's right.
That's going to pay for his fines and everything like that. He's not going to be able to run for office again. But the Republican Party is jumping behind him so they can show dumbass DeSantis when he runs that we'll stand behind you like we did Trump, even though he can't do it.
And that's why it's even better.
Right, he's not
and
any
that's
better.
Why they're
but
taking their time.
Party. Yeah, they're taking their time. The Justice Department. See, he messed up when he pissed off and pissed on the FBI and now the IRS. Those are the two entities in this country that you don't mess with. Because now
and they already have a. They got and you're right about the office Scrimshaw, because they also have just let them know his tax returns are free for them to look at. They are going to get this fool for fraud. They're gonna connect him with your girl out there in New York, Letitia James. They gonna just got Rudy, and they just got Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham has to go in front of a grand jury right now. There is no more running.
That's right.
Is this like the good fellows, they're going to pick them up left and right and then finally get the big boss, meaning Donald Trump, because they're going through all of them? Is that what you guys are saying? That eventually they will get Donald
Trump. Testify. He got 5 months in Michael Island. And he's got to pay, I forgot how many millions, maybe 1 million.
$2 million.
Well, hold on a minute. I want to ask you a question. Michael Cohen was his lawyer, right? How much time did Michael Cohen do?
That was a long time ago.
No, I asked a question. How much time did Michael Cohen do behind bars?
COVID.
Hold on. He was not at a prison. He was at a damn camp. He was at a resort. And now he's speaking against Donald Trump, his former employer.
But guess what? The CFO is going to Riker Island.
No, he was not.
No, I said
Michael
his CFO
Cohen?
Who just
I was speaking on Michael Cohen at the time. Now we will talk about the CFO, the chief financial officer, who went ahead and decided, I don't want to do 15 to 20 years behind bars. I will this, and I will turn. Okay, so you all know who we're talking about now. I'm not talking about Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen's on TV every day now. But keep in mind that the Republican Party is saying, oh, he's a turncoat, this, that, and the other. No, he was Donald Trump's lawyer for years. He was his yes man.
He was the fixer.
And I mean,
he was the fixer.
So the thing was, common sense.
And
common
Trump got in the White House and he threw him under the bus. He didn't take him with him.
Can I finish? Common sense should tell people this. Everybody, when you listen to what Donald Trump said, I'm going to bring you the best. And when people did not do what he wanted them to do, he started degrading them, talking about them, firing them, and everything. And now every single one of them, damn near all of them, turning over and say, hey, look, I'm not going to take the fall and lose the rest of my life. And that there was a deal for Michael Cohen for him to get out in that amount of time. Otherwise, if he didn't give up any information whatsoever, he would still be behind damn bars. And every single individual. Because, see, here's the thing that is a fact. The FBI told the Secret Service they were coming there. It was already planned. They said, look, we're coming there, whether Donald's there or not. And they have to work with, the Secret Service has to work with the FBI, okay? And then here's the president who says, I'm the law enforcement president. But then he wants to say, and his followers want to say that, oh, they were wrong. And now they're threatening the FBI to shoot and kill them on sight.
Well, then, wait a minute, Mike. But all the people who spoke up, Marjorie Taylor Greene to Rick Scott,
mm-hmm.
DeSantis, this other
mm-hmm.
cat who was over the that they just had on Jake Tapper, okay? Mm-hmm. All that info is going to come out. They are going. He's already had 18 of his former people. Let them know, we don't know nothing about this. You can't do this. You have broken. And they told him, bruh, they want to know from the time that he left the White House, because they want to remember, they got to have a timeline. They got to have a timeline.
Right.
And they got
mm-hmm.
to bring it all the way through. So when they bring it to him, that's why they got to dot their I's and cross their T's, because they
that's
know
right.
when they get ready to
but
take
here's,
him down.
But here's,
okay, they got to hit him, and they got to hit him hard. They got to squeeze.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing I just want to say, okay, and I'm going to let you guys run with it, but once they got the CFO to say, because the judge asked him not once but twice, are you sure you want to do this? And his response was yes. You could listen to it. I'm saying in verbatim of how it was said, but he wanted to make sure his plea, first he pleaded not guilty, then he pleaded guilty, because he knew his ass was going
to
do about, as Jenny said. Hold on. His ass was going to look at maybe 15 years if he ran to the hill. He was like, shit, I'm too old if I'm found guilty. So that tells you something. They got something on you. And if you sit up here and lie, you can be behind bars for 15 years of your 70 damn year life so far and die in prison. And he don't want to die in prison.
He's supposed
to. The killer elite. Go ahead, Janet.
I'm sorry. Well, he's supposed to testify against the corporation. But what a lot of people don't realize, that corporation is Donald Trump and his family. So when he's testifying, he's testifying against the corporation, which is Donald Trump.
Right.
Exactly.
Mike, what you got to understand, you got three different cases here. You've got Letitia James. That's the one in New York.
And Georgia.
And also, so you got Letitia James in New York. You got Rudy Giuliani and my boy Lindsey Graham in Georgia. Right? And now and you have Mar-a-Lago. We have three different types of things that we about to get this boy for.
But they also
got
an investigation going on in Washington, but they're just not talking about it because all this other stuff is hot and heavy.
Right.
Okay, so let's do this, you guys. I'm sorry. I know. Right. You have three. I want you to go ahead and finish what you were saying. But, right, there's three different cases. And the things that where folks are saying, what can Donald Trump be charged for? Well, that is a good question. Because you look at the times they've been trying to impeach him. They tried to charge him for other stuff, and it came to no avail. But now it looks like it's heavy hitters now. It's a deeper situation. What do you think?
Because
you said three. Do you think he's going to be charged on all three or maybe just – well, I'm the same. Do you think he's going to be charged on all three, maybe one, maybe two of them? What? Because he's been able to avoid all the other ones. Okay, that's all I know. You think he's going to be charged on all
of them? The reason why they're going to get him for all of them, because you need to understand, he is not a president anymore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now, as remember, he tried to bring up Obama's name. Well, Obama, Barack Obama, Hussein. No. You're lying, because the people who held the articles who are asking for the information back stated that Obama stuff was covered, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have that. It's in Chicago. It is under surveillance. You can't get to it. Obama don't have anything. We've been trying to get stuff from you for the last 15 months. One, who told you that you can take that out of there? Who loaded up the boxes? Who unloaded the boxes? Where did you put them? Okay.
But who had access?
We have 10 minutes left. We only have 10 minutes left. I want to go ahead because I see. Hold on a second, Dan. I want you to finish or respond. I see Officer Crenshaw still here and 209990. I see you're still here. So, Janet, go ahead and finish what you were going to say, and then I want them to go ahead and have a chance to chime in before we get out of here. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, well, what a lot of people fail to realize is just like Trump always tore papers, always. And like Tyman said, he's no longer president of the United States. And what they got after him now is most of his state. He's not federal. He's not going to be in a country club. He's going to state. So if they just take part of his pension and he can't run again, that'll be fine with me. because we do not need autocrat country. The Republicans is off the deep end trying to turn our country into an autocrat country.
Okay. Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts on this conversation about Trump and the allegations and all this stuff? Well, you heard what has been said. My whole question is that if they feel like they have something on him, do you really think he's going to go behind bars or just get a slap on the wrist and pay a fine and be allowed to run for office again? It's a simple question.
Yes, he's going to go behind bars because the espionage charge that they're going to have on him, that's going to hit the hardest. And they're
all going
to hit a lot of his high-ranking cabinet members. Janet said, if he runs again, we're screwed. But the thing is, don't get them willful idiots that's up there standing behind him out as well. We're still screwed because they're going to let DeSantis, you know, take Mickey Mouse away from us. And that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. DeSantis can't be in there either.
Looking like
he's on steroids or something.
Okay.
He's trying to take us being slaves, people, our ancestors being slaves. They're not slaves. It was like they came here to a country club. You know, he want to rewrite history. You know, if you can't, say something you don't like, he said he shuts you down.
That ain't going to happen because you trust me or my family. We fight.
Let me go to Cotton Campbell. Cotton, I see that you're there. You know, and I'm used to your other number. What's your thoughts on this one? Cotton, you there? Okay. I don't hear Cotton responding. He's at the 209-990. Are you there? Okay, their number's still on the board. Okay, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to keep my hopes up. I will be and the things that where I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, you a Donald Trump hater. Again, I don't say I hate anyone. I don't hate anyone. I dislike what people do. That's my motto.
It's not about hate. It's not about hating someone. This man. They're trying to say you hate Donald Trump. You don't hate Donald Trump. It's not about hating him.
Well,
it is the fact of what you're doing
what
to this country.
And what he do. Right. I dislike. I don't hate him as a person. Look, I used to watch The Apprentice. I really enjoyed the show. To be honest, I thought it was very entertaining. It was fun.
Well, I came from New York. Close to New Jersey,
I didn't know about his background. I didn't know all that stuff until later on when he started running for office, and then I started seeing the stories about what he did to the people in the casinos in New York. That's a region.
Right.
He was not exposed to everybody everywhere in the way that he was known in New York, right?
If you pay attention to Malcolm Nance even stated that right after Obama won the presidency, that the Russians start bringing together to put Donald Trump in office. They started working with him to get the game going. It was a setup.
I agree with that.
That's why he called Hillary a crook. And he let by calling her a crook, he ain't letting y'all know, I'm the crook. I'm going to make y'all think she's the crook. That's why he turned the White House into a reality TV show. That's what he did every day.
I saw that. Okay. Yeah, and everything on the White House ground. And then when you look at, you know who got me was, I tell you where I found it very funny, and we have to go back to Kellyanne, whose husband does not like Donald Trump. I'm not going to say he hates him, but he does not like Donald Trump, and he's on the circuit of talk show. Right, but it really funny to me that she backs Donald. He dislikes Donald or what he's done. But they're husband and wife, right? But where is she now? What is she doing?
Her daughter was going to be emancipated. Their daughter wanted to get away from them. And so that's why she had to leave the White House.
But even now, where is she now in the political field? Because what kills me was that one thing she said, alternative facts. What is an alternative to facts? That was a classic that I will never forget. I know you guys won. Alternative facts? Is there such
a
thing?
Well, that's what Trump wanted her to say.
Well, it's just like...
He gave them help me Jews. And so that's why everything is in a turmoil right now.
It's just like I said, Ethan Couch, the individual who didn't do a day in jail for the death of numerous individuals, where they said he suffered from influenza, being too rich, growing up rich. And he never did a day in jail. Well, I take that back. After he tried to flee to Mexico with his mom, then they got him. But otherwise, he beat the murder cases, the death of his friends. The whole point I'm saying is that Ethan Couch, you don't remember that young kid who was driving that truck?
He was the president of the United States.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that comes to where when you feel like you are privileged, when you come to where you feel like you're privileged, and it's sad that our government, our law enforcement, our courts give people breaks like this. It's really sad. Just like with the President of the United States, the reason why I said that is because I'm thinking that maybe Donald Trump probably will not do a day in jail, because I think there's going to be a fear of probably some mass issues throughout the country if they actually put Donald Trump in jail.
It doesn't matter, Michael. Listen, Trump, before he left the White House, he put strategic people in place so that he could still run the show behind the scenes. But once Biden got in, a lot of those people they had in the Pentagon and the Justice Department and everything, they had to set those people down because Trump had his little minions in there.
Right.
He was trying to steal the president behind the scenes, and everybody knows he likes to play the play.
Okay. Well, look, I know I normally would go over, but you know what I was being talked to about. You know what? We don't need to do two and a half, three hours. So I'm going to stick it to 2 hours because it's about to go on 8 o'clock. So, hey, you guys, I appreciate our guests. I appreciate all the co-hosts here. Our guest, Mr. Rob Armstrong. Thank you so much, Rob. Love for you to come back. And I tell you what, next time he comes back,
Did you mention him today?
No, I didn't, but I don't have time to do so. What I want to do is go ahead and end this show. Hold on a minute. You said Vaughn Witherspoon?
Yeah, he was the one that was one of the characters, starring on Friday and with, Bang Bang, the Bang Bang guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he had passed. He passed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know what? I added a little bit more time. I did not see that. So, John Witherspoon passed today?
I think it was yesterday.
I didn't see that. Okay. I did not see that. Honestly, I did not see that. Wow. Okay, so you guys who are listening on the internet, and that's not it. Yeah, John Witherspoon, who was known for Fridays and also for the hit comedy show with the Wayne brothers. Passed away.
Dead at 77.
And not just, well, he was very much known for the Fridays, but also he played a reoccurring role on Martin from time to time. You don't remember. Mm-hmm. He would wear that patch, and he said, don't make me whoop somebody's butt up or ass up in here or something. But, yeah, John Witherspoon, one hell of a comedian and actor. Wow, I didn't know that he passed. So that's another question. How do you make another Friday when the key characters, meaning John Witherspoon, Tiny Lester, which I knew Tiny myself. I knew him when he was just a bouncer at a nightclub in L.A. called Big Daddy's before he got into being a wrestler known as Zeus. And then you got Bernie Mac gone. You know what I'm saying? You know, and then Chris Tucker not wanting to reprise his role as Smokey. I can't see another Friday unless they're going to come up with something totally different. That's going to be hard for them to do.
Do Friday just them being just married and having a family. You know, don't have to be them still out there in the streets smoking blunts and cutting
up. You won't see, as I just mentioned, all the characters who are dead now or the actors who play some of the main roles. I mean, of course, John Witherspoon, who plays his dad, was hysterical, you know, always eating and everything. You know, on Craig, you know, which was the character's name, Craig. And then, of course, Bebo, you know, the threatening person in the neighborhood, all that stuff. But here's the thing, by saying that, I don't think they want to do the answer that we're going to see soon with the new Black Panther movie, which is going to be called Wakanda Forever. Have you all seen the clip of this? Any of you seen the clip?
Yeah, I've seen the clip.
Here we go. And the thing is that where it's really going to talk about or share about Wakanda, not the Black Panther, according to what I've seen, not about that. And they said they did it this way in respect to chat with Bozeman and everything, but show you more about the country of Wakanda. I don't know how well the audience is going to accept that. The clip is kind of interesting, but I really don't know what direction it's going to go. I'm waiting to see the movie.
Well, I think his sister is going to play a major role in being the Panther.
Well, yeah, she is. But if you listen to what Angela Bassett says as the mother queen, is that I have no family anymore. Haven't I given all as your queen? So it sounds like everybody's dead. That's what it sounds like. If you listen to the trailer, I'm giving my whole family. I don't know if that's what it means, that everybody is dead, the dad, the son, the daughter. And what do they do after this? Do they come up with another? Do they come up with someone else? Or does, what's her name, happen to have gotten pregnant by, you know, Chadwick Boseman's character, T'Challa, and has a baby, and now he grows up to be the Black Panther? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting if they can pull this off.
They've had several Batman, several Superman, several different characters playing, you know, superheroes. So this won't be the first. Several Spider-Men, you know. So it'll be more than one Panther.
Right. All right, you guys. We're going to get on out of here. The time is 8:04 p.m. on the East Coast. And I'm pretty sure it's 5:04 p.m. on the West Coast. Again, thanks to all of our co-hosts. Thanks to our special guests. I'm going to give you a couple of drops, and then the TMGS is going to get out of here. And by the way, next Saturday, we do have a special guest. He's been on the show before. You guys probably remember him, but he's written a book. And I said, hey, you know what? Come on and promote your book. He's known as Luca Brasi. Yeah, kind of like the movie and The Godfather, but he's a heck of a rapper. Had him on, and you're going to enjoy what he has to share, his story. And then coming up next month, September, which is right around the corner, Jen and I happen to have the pleasure of being at the show last Saturday,
with Miss Karen White, also with Karen White, OB O'Brien, also Calvin Richardson, and Carl Thomas. And standing right there with me, Janet, what did Carl say? He said next month.
He'll be coming
what?
On the show in September.
Exactly. So you guys look forward to Mr. Carl Thomas being on our show coming up next month, which is next week. Not saying he's going to be on next Saturday, but next month, September starts next week. He's going to be our guest on the TMGS. Hey, you guys, appreciate you. Love you. God bless. And we will see you next Saturday with a few special guests and a couple of surprises. Take care. Talk to you soon. Here's a few drops, and we're out of here.
Hey, this is St. James, and you're tuned in to TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It, with your host, Cotton Campbell. So keep it locked here for more great conversation on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Let's get it, baby.
Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to the Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
There's no way I can repair.